Next up is our Chief Financial Officer, Tom Schoewe.
Hi, you're in the home stretch. We're almost there. Based on some of the conversations I've had in the hallway today, there are a couple of things that I'm going to address up front, and then we'll just open it up to Q&A. First of all, the short discussion on share repurchase. Several of you have asked us, is there a specific time frame associated with the new $15 billion program? Short answer is no. Just as we would have done 2 years ago when we had the initial $15 billion program, we told you that we would be in the market, we'd be active, and I think with the benefit of hindsight, that you can see that that is in fact the case. I think we went through, Charles, about $13.5 billion of that in the last 2 years. So no assurance on the pace, but assurance that we will be active. The second thing is a discussion around expenses. It's obvious that any one of your questions have centered around the overall expense level for the corporation. You know how sensitive we are to that, and our business model is. You've heard Brian, Doug, and Eduardo talk about what's going on in expenses inside their business. I thought I'd take just a couple of minutes and chat about that other segment as well. Inside there, you've heard us talk over the longest time about transformation. And we've always had three subsets of conversation around transformation. You've heard us talk about merchandising, finance, and people. Well, fast forward to the end. I'm hopeful after our dialogue today, the only conversations that we'll have going forward will have to do with the finance transformation that's underway. So let's talk about all three. The reason I've come to the conclusion I just stated is my guess is while you care about transformation, you care a lot about your own business, your model that reflects what you think about us and whether or not there's going to be expense pressure year over year. Well, what you're going to find out, take people as an example, Susan, the work that's been done in transformation there, a lot of work has been done. You've seen some year-over-year increases, but going forward, you're not going to see significant year-over-year increases. What you're going to see is a continuation of some very good work that's been done on best practices, Tom Mars on talent development. You'll continue to see that happen, but you won't see the people transformation act as a headwind. Okay, so going forward, we're going to continue to invest in that. Those best practices are still very, very important for us, but we won't have the need to bring that up in this conversation. Likewise, when you talk about merchandising, You've heard about the substantial progress that's taken place, specifically in Walmart U.S. One of the many things, we've got a great strategy, and that's what's driving this whole thing, but an important part of that strategy is the role that systems has played and the tools that have been helpful to John, you and your team, to help us get to where we are now. We will continue to invest in those systems. But again, it's not going to be presenting year-over-year headwind for your model or for us as we're closing those books. So again, like the people things, we're going to continue to invest in systems for merchandising, but you're not going to hear this conversation on transformation going forward. Finally, you have what's going on in the finance area. These are significant dollars that we're investing to catch our financial systems up to the rest of the business, for that matter. I have kind of some good news and some more difficult news on that front. The good news is, as we speak, this week, the very first country that we've put through this process would be Andy Bond and his team in the UK, and in fact, we're in the process, Rob and Forbes, of going live in that environment right now. I'm very, very proud of that progress. In all transparency here, we're a little bit later than we would have thought. It cost us a little bit more, but we've made solid progress. What you'll see going forward is that we're going to be rolling it out in Latin America, here in the United States, and significant dollars will be spent there. There will be some year-over-year expense pressure that's created by what's going on in our financial systems transformation. You'll see that probably peak in the second or third quarter of this year, and then hopefully after that, the year-over-year variances will moderate. Does that make sense? At least I hope it does. Before we get started, I should have introduced the finance team here as well. Everybody else has done that. If I could get my direct reports to stand up, and we're going to confuse you here in just a minute. But I think you all know Charles Holley, Treasurer, Capital Markets, Investor Relations, Tax, Steve Whaley, Corporations Controller, Anne Bordelon, Chief Audit Executive, Robin Forbes, used to be the CFO for Walmart U.S. and is now leading that systems initiative, that financial systems, the conversion to SAP. Over here is Juan Ling Martello. You're probably thinking, well, didn't she stand up just a minute ago? That's exactly right. She has the unfortunate situation of having two bosses. She's shaking her head up and down. She has to report to Doug and to Tom. The solid line reporting relationship is to me, the day-to-day activity is into the operations. Michael Fung is the CFO for Walmart U.S., and Liz Kirkwood for Sam's Club. Did we get everybody?
I think we did.
We have 14 minutes and 3 seconds for your questions. Deb?
So I think we can all agree you've been very strong stewards of capital. If we think going forward, we already talked about, you know, probably expenses being reduced with regards to future construction. Can we also talk about, as you continue to find, I'd say, new ways to leverage your existing DC infrastructure, how should we think about future DC growth?
Well, I'll give you a macro kind of discussion and then maybe even ask Eric or Bill, for that matter, to chat about this. Rowling, when he was running the distribution network, did a very, very nice job of putting a good system in place, leveraging the assets, passed that on to Johnny Dobbs, and he has continued to just do a remarkable job of leveraging that base. What we found, Deb, as a result of all the things that are going on in capital efficiency, that includes what's going on in inventory, not just at the store level, but also in the DCs, I think that our need for the next incremental DC has been put off for some significant time period because of all the operational efficiency that we've seen in the business. I hope I didn't overstate that too much, Bill. Maybe you could expand, or Johnny, for that matter.
No, I think you said it. I think you said it very well, Tom. In fact, I mean, we're operating, as you see, our inventory levels growing at less than half the rate of sales. In fact, in the last calendar year, actually, we're negative inventory levels. We're running our inventory today at the same inventory unit and dollar levels that we were 5 years ago. So we see a lot of opportunity and efficiencies in the distribution system, and we see that kind of in the upcoming years as well.
Please.
Hi, Tom. Two questions. The first one on the transformational expenses. So going forward, is the size of the impact on the expense side in the next two quarters, you know, how does it relate to what we've seen over the last several quarters? Is it going to materially be larger, smaller?
No, I think what you should expect to see is that moderating over the next several quarters, so that we'll get to the point where it's not a headwind quarter over quarter when you make the comparison to the prior year. Hopefully that's the case by Q3 for transformation specifically.
And then the second question is, can you give us an update on your credit card relationship? I think does the program expire at the end of this year, and sort of the updated thoughts about that relationship?
I'm going to let Charles answer that, but there's one other thing that we need to mention when it comes to both systems investments and transformation. And that is, if you've been listening today, you've heard about some very impressive things that have taken place inside the business. In many cases, that's been enabled by the investments that we've made in technology. We talked about it just a little bit earlier about what's happened in merchandising, but Bill Simon, I think the tools that you have today to schedule labor might be one of the many reasons why labor grew at a slower rate than sales over the last little while. So you can't just look at systems investments on a standalone basis. You need to look at it holistically and see the benefit to the corporation. I've given Charles the opportunity to think about the credit card question.
Well, we have several credit card agreements, so I have to know which one you're talking about. Which one? Yeah, Liz, is that maybe something you want to take? Why don't you repeat the question for Liz?
The question is, I think on the credit card arrangement, believe that the program ends, I think, with GE this year. And just to update on the thoughts on how it's been going for you, and should we expect a renewal, or how, and what's the process from where we are today?
Sure. So what I'll do is comment briefly and then pass this on to Jane Thompson for U.S. Financial Services. We actually have separate agreements for Sam's Club and U.S. Financial Services, and our Sam's Club agreement would not be up for renewal this year. Jane, let me pass it to you.
She took the easy one. We do have our contract up now. We're in the middle of negotiations. I probably shouldn't say more, but we hope to quickly have it's expiring within weeks and months. And so we are, again, did an RFP or in negotiations, hope to come through with a card that will be better than ever.
Dan.
Hi, Dan Bender from Jefferies. In recent conversations with Wall Street, Eduardo has talked about the size of the white spaces that are available in terms of store growth in the U.S. And he's also talked about how the communities that perhaps were at one time less friendly to Walmart have become more friendly. Taking that into consideration and the fact that you've done a great job of fixing what you have, if you will, how do you view the opportunity for square footage growth going forward? Would it be fair to say that could present opportunities to take it back up at some point, or do you think sort of keeping it stable at around 5% is more likely?
Oh, I have one here. I don't need to. I think that we have expressed in the past that we are prioritizing the opportunities, and it starts with the fact that we've got discount stores that we believe can be converted into supercenters. That's the best use of our existing assets. That is priority number one. In many cases, that gives us access with food to markets where we don't have our presence. With food, the Northeast would be an example of that. Secondly, we are building smaller stores, so even though we might expand the number of stores that we new stores that we build every year, most likely on a square footage basis, you are not going to see the same growth relative to the base, simply because you've got fairly large supercenters that weigh very heavily on the existing base. So we do see opportunities to continue to grow that are very consistent with the fact that we have said that if you take the 15 opportunity markets in the United States and you take the market share that we have in those markets and project the market share that we have in other markets and establish how much is that worth, it's worth a lot more than many opportunities outside of the U.S. So
the growth rate will stay roughly stable? Is that?
No, I think that there's a lot of opportunity out there.
Okay.
A lot of opportunity.
Great, thanks.
Let's go over here. Adrian.
Tom, the question relates to perhaps an update on the five financial metrics. Perhaps a year ago we saw an inflection point where on the list there were more positives than negatives. Now it seems like that might be flipping.
Yes.
Perhaps more negatives. Give us an update on that, what that means for ROI. You had talked about flat ROI at the analyst meeting after Q1. We saw that dip negatively even after the DNS acquisition, if you can update us.
Right. Let's go through them one at a time, and Charles will help remind me on the ones that I forget. But the first one would be to have profits growing faster than sales. And we would not have met that objective as a corporation during the first quarter. And one of the main reasons for that is what was going on, Charles, in that other segment. We've had that conversation, and I think you can expect some different things going forward. The second would be to have operating income growing faster than property, plant, and equipment. The same kind of pressures that we described in metric number one apply on that second one. The next would be to have inventory growing at half the rate of sales. What I'd like to do is take the next five minutes and 26 seconds and talk about inventory, but Seriously, the guys are doing such a great job in inventory, especially here in the United States. I think, Doug, we've got a real focus in international. We can make some progress there, but it is solid green in terms of that metric. In terms of payables growing faster than inventory, the operations continue to do just an exceptional job there. So that would be a green light as well. The last one, I think, is home office expenses growing at a slower rate than sales, and we've already had that conversation. So having said all of that, what I would tell you is, on an apples-to-apples basis, the same kinds of things that we said before about improving ROI continue today. But there are things that have happened. We just did an acquisition in Chile, and that's got a pretty significant impact on ROI in the short term. We have the Chilean assets in the denominator and only a quarter, Doug, of their operation in the numerator. So that's going to push the overall corporation down. But the emphasis at all levels in the organization, every business segment or here in the home office, is dedicated to managing overall returns the best way we possibly can. That's exemplified finally in how we pay our people. I'd remind you that the most important component, a disproportionate piece of what we call our performance share plan, Susan, our long-term incentive plan, is dedicated to hitting our objectives in return on investment.
Appreciating that you're trying to improve ROI, but would you still expect ROI to be flat this year?
Flat, I think, is a good assumption. In fact, if we could remain flat with the acquisition, that would be a pretty stellar performance. Wayne?
Yeah, I just wanted to come back to the IT transformation a second. I mean, companies, the first thing they do is usually the financial systems, which is what you're undertaking now, and that's usually the simpler, not necessarily simpler, but one of the more easier things to do.
Robin, this is simple.
Well, the next move to that is the merchandising platform, and I'm just wondering, when does that come on, and how do you manage transformation and implementation risk with that as it relates to cost accounting versus retail accounting, and how you're applying cost accounting versus retail and accounting around the world, and what are you bringing it to collectively look at the business in total?
Well, I'll let Robin and John chat about this more, but what you've heard is we're doing both at the same time. There's a lot of investment, Roland Ford, to merchandising systems, primarily here for Walmart U.S., but the benefit of that hasn't necessarily been borne across the entire enterprise yet. But that's going on at the same time. Robin, how many months are we into the financial systems transformation? 30 months. We've been at this for almost 3 years. What's going on in merchandising, what's going on in operations, that's all happening at once. Maybe, Rollin, you could comment about the integration of those across the enterprise.
And I guess if he could speak to the issue that companies typically have, and that is, you know, moving from retail accounting to cost accounting and the inventory alignment issues where you end up with differences as you kind of make that transformation. Thanks.
I'm going to let Tom talk about the accounting changes. I'll talk about the integration just briefly. One of the biggest things that we have to deal with the integration is the data, making sure that the data is clean as you purge from one legacy system and you start into SAP, for example. And that's where we're putting our efforts. We're pleased with what we're seeing so far. Is it heavy lifting? Is it complex? You bet it is. Now, on the cost accounting and the cost...
Robin will cover that.
I'll never let Robin
when
cover
she's
it.
Coming up, what you need to know, and the issue that Roland just mentioned on that data integrity kind of stuff, as we've prioritized what's important to us in the implementation, especially on the finance side, while you'd expect cost to be item number one, it's not. It's quality. We're ensuring that we're going to do this, we're going to do it right the first time. That's where a little bit later than we would have liked in the UK, Andy, but the team in the UK has just done a spectacular job keeping quality item number one. Robin, let's talk about accounting.
Yeah, in terms of it, accounting, we have both cost accounting and retail accounting around the world. Even within the U.S., we have both. And at this point in time, we're not changing those accounting methods.
I think we have time, Charles, for one more question.
One more.
How about right here in the middle? He's been very patient.
Thank you. Scott Mushkin at Jefferies. couple of follow-up questions for Eduardo, actually.
Okay, good.
When you're looking at the U.S. grocery business, some of your traditional competitors look like they're starting to panic a little bit as far as pricing goes. Do you have a stated goal where you want to be as far as distance from them? You know, most of our surveys show 15 to 25 is where you've traditionally been, but that seems to be eroding. And then the appears to be eroding with our pricing surveys in some markets. Second questions, you have made acquisitions in the grocery business outside the U.S. Would you ever consider one inside the U.S.?
I'll start with the second one. We don't comment on acquisitions. The first one on pricing, the fact is that we believe that we are expanding the gap, not the gap with a grocery. All the grocery stores are closing, and we clearly have very good third-party information that doesn't take just a couple of stores in a couple of cities, but across a broad geography that indicate that our price differentials are expanding, not contracting. So we continue to invest in price, and it is, without any doubt, the most important and top of mind initiative that this organization has. No, John or Jack. Jack, do you want to?
Just to reiterate what Eduardo, it's the single biggest thing that we focus in on price. We're looking at markets right across the country. We've got 72 markets where we look at where our grocery competitors are on a broad range of products, and we're looking at that. We are seeing one or two pockets where there's one or two things happening in individual categories, but across the board, we're seeing a growth in our price separation, not a contraction.
Okay. Thanks, Tom Shoey. And for our final agenda item, we have Mike Duke back, our CEO, to wrap it all up. Mike?